Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And we're going to jump right in. This message is Jesus teaches how to get to heaven. So let's go right to it. Lord Jesus, I'd ask that you would make your word clear and that you would be clearly understood for all that desire to hear you. I ask that you would be speaking through your spirit right now to each and every one listening. In your name I pray. Amen. It amazes me how much people want to water down Jesus. They want a watered down Jesus. Just a harmless, friendly Jesus who accepts everyone, came into the world to show us how to live decently. Show us how to be good people. Well, that's a lie. Jesus is the express image of God. And every single thing, in existence, measurable and immeasurable, visible and invisible, was made by him. He's the holy God, and he came to redeem a fallen creation who loves life, who loves to live life apart from him, and wants nothing to do with him. He came to wash everyone who believes with his very own blood. This is personal. That's the message of Jesus. That's why he really came. That's who he really is, and that's what he's really done. And I want to take just 3 points I want to share on Jesus' many teachings about how to get saved. First, you must go through Jesus. Salvation only, solely, explicitly, singularly, exclusively, specifically, entirely, completely, wholly, and single-handedly comes through Jesus Christ. I'm hoping I got my point across with that one. Any other means of salvation is a lie. It simply is not true. Jesus came to teach that. I'm going to show you from his words. If going to heaven comes some other way, by some other religion, then Jesus is a liar. If you find a righteous person who isn't covered by the blood of Christ, then Jesus is a liar. And we know that Jesus is no liar. He says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have an everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day, in John 6:40. And John 6:47, he says, anyone, whoever believes in me, has everlasting life. And in chapter 11, verse 26 of John, he says, whoever believes in me will never die. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, in John 14:6. He says, in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they all never perish, or they will never perish. Says it again in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He says in John 5:40, and you will not come to me that you may have life. Jesus clearly taught that he is more than a friendly teacher. He's the exclusive giver of eternal life. It's important you know that, because so many different people will come with various ways to get right with God or various ways to get to heaven, but that's completely against what Jesus says. That's why every religion can't be the same. When people say to me, oh, well, you know, Judaism and Christianity and Islam and Buddhism, they're all really worshiping the same God. It's all really the same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not. Jesus just completely throws that in the trash. You heard it yourself. It's not my opinion. It's not, you know, the evangelical church's opinion, you know, that they came up with. It's Jesus Christ. It's him himself saying it. I am the way. You must come to me. Second point, from Jesus' teaching on being saved. You must be born again. You cannot come as you are. You cannot. You must be entirely new inside. Now, Jesus teaches this concept in John chapter 3 to a man named Nicodemus, a religious ruler who knows the Bible, at that time just the Old Testament, knows it well, follows it all these different things, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus, seeing the state of his heart, responds to him, because he comes to Jesus patting him on his back like, you're a great teacher from God. The same stuff I told you in the beginning of this message that people do. They water him down. Oh, you're such a good teacher. You're such a good teacher. And Jesus gives him the truth. He says to him in John 3, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Friends, you must be born again. You've heard it straight from the horse's mouth. You need to be born again. Your first birth lets you see and participate in this world. This world. Flesh is flesh. But your second birth, now that lets you see and participate in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, you can't come as you are to heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done as a Christian or not as a non-Christian. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. None of us are good enough. We're just flesh with our fleshly desires, our fleshly cravings, and our sins. And they stain us. It's only by the Holy Spirit who washes us. It's the new birth. And you can't give yourself the new birth. You can't give yourself the Holy Spirit. That's something that comes from Jesus Christ alone. Only he can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the way you get it, the way you ask Jesus to baptize you with that, is to simply repent. He says in Luke, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Now, you know, let's just keep something in context here. He says, except you be born of water and spirit, you can't see the kingdom. Now, he's talking to a religious leader of the Jewish faith. Now, at that time, it was very common for Jews, religious leaders, to baptize non-Jews through water. Water was a symbol of being cleaned. You're being washed, right? So Jesus isn't teaching here that baptism, the water baptism that we know of being immersed, is how you get saved, or that has anything to do with your salvation. It is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. It's him who comes into you and you become born again. Water baptism is just a demonstration of the real thing, of being washed. The Holy Spirit is what does the washing. The real thing is what you want, and that only comes by the Holy Spirit being implanted by you. And like I said, that is Jesus Christ. He alone has the exclusive rights. That's why when someone comes and says all these other ways, and all the other religions are the same, that's not true. Because it's only Jesus, and you need to be born again. Right? You need to be born again, and only Jesus has the rights to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's Matthew 3:11. And he says it again in John 1:32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and an abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, who we know is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, and you need that to be saved. Last point about how to get to heaven and being saved. You must obey Jesus. There's no beating around the bush with this. And I won't mince words. I won't water it down. You've got to obey Jesus Christ, a lifestyle of obedience. Now, there are folks who will tell you once saved and always saved and think you can live how you want to live and just call it backsliding. You'll be right with God because you can't lose your salvation. And I'm here to tell you, beware of that type of thinking. Yes, it's absolutely true that you cannot lose your salvation and that you are eternally secure. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he's our down payment, our guarantee of eternal life, right? Jesus says that no one can take you out of his hand. You can't be born again and again and again and again. You can't undo the process of your rebirth. But, a big B-U-T, don't ever let that stop you from believing that obeying Christ is not intertwined with your salvation. God cannot be mocked and he won't be mocked. You're not going to go to heaven and lawyer your way with God or catch him in a word game when you get to heaven. You know, oh, well, Lord, you know, I said the sinner's prayer, I repented, and that means your Holy Spirit comes to me, and so I've got to be saved. You know, you can't be undone. You said I'm sealed. Hey, the Pharisees tried to challenge Jesus and that backfired. I wouldn't do it. And I'm going to read to you all the things Jesus says about obeying him. And I'm just going to say that I don't want you to be like the person who thought that, oh, I claim Jesus, I praise Jesus, I did things in his name, therefore I should be fine. Because look what he says in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he or she that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now let's stop right there for 1 second. What's the Father's will in heaven concerning his Son? Luke 9:34 tells us that. It says, while Jesus thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him, or obey him. When the word hear is used, it means to obey. And then back to Matthew 7, just to continue, Jesus goes on to tell you, he describes a group of people who are going to be coming to him in the last days. He's telling you ahead of time, right? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Obeying Jesus' words, keeping his commandments are fundamental. John 8:31, Jesus says, unto those Jews which believe in him, if you continue in my faith, then you are my disciples. Excuse me, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. He even challenges people who call him Lord and don't obey him. He says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? The first Corinthians at the last chapter, and I think the last verse of the last chapter, it says, anyone who doesn't love the Lord, count them to be accursed. Now, that's not a good word, to be accursed. That's not good. Cursed. If you don't love the Lord. Someone may say, well, I love the Lord. Well, what does Jesus say about loving the Lord? He says, look, John 15, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus says to me, if you love me, Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So, obeying Jesus is just, you just can't get around it, friends. I mean, you have to obey him. So the question becomes, well, what is it that Jesus commands? What are his commandments? And I'll tell you flat out, you must love each other. Now, Jesus says it repeatedly. It's not Michael Ryan saying it. Jesus says it repeatedly himself for you to know. No one's going to be surprised in that day. Matthew 22, verse 37, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Everything hangs from that. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In verse 17, these I command all of you, that all of you love one another. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that all of you love one another, as I have loved you, that all of you also love one another. By this all men will know that all of you are my disciples, if all of you have love to one another. This is what Jesus commands, and I encourage you to obey it. The whole New Testament teaches what it means to love. Read it. Memorize Jesus' instructions. Apply them. Blessed is he who hears the word of God and does them. Amen? So, these are the three things I glean from the teaching of Jesus on how to be saved. That salvation comes only through him. There is no other. He's the door. That Jesus Christ teaches you must be born again. You cannot come as you are. You've got to be new. And lastly, you've got to obey his word. You've got to obey his word. So, Lord, I pray that this message was clear and it was understood, and that whoever's listening would just, if they didn't know this, Lord, that they would make the decision today to go to heaven. Make the decision today to be on a path towards the kingdom, to trust you and only you, Jesus, as you teach, to be born again, Lord, to repent of their sins, to ask you for forgiveness, to realize that you washed them with your own blood, that you came here to die for us humans. They receive your spirit and be born again, Jesus, and then they live a life of obedience, Lord, to you. As a reflection of what's happened, Lord. Lord, I pray that anyone listening would come to know you, Lord, if they don't already, Lord. And if someone's a believer, I pray that they would examine themselves in the faith. Are they obeying you? Do they know that everything comes from you? Everything, Lord. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you convict anyone listening, Lord, of this. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.